Oh, I hate those. I gotta turn that off. What the oh my goodness, is it on the user interface? No. Messages, right? I don't need a notifications. Okay, that should. Let's do that. All right, let me get the other things going and the stream going, because it's important to have the stream going. Oh, why can't I keep what? Oh, I thought I turned that off. What happened to Joel?
I don't know.
Let's see here. Not server. Let's see. User. Stop. Listen. I don't need that. I don't need that. User kicked. I don't need that. I don't need that. I muted. Don't need any of that. I don't want any of these. I wish there was one button that you could just click that would turn off all the damn notifications.
It's
in a Mumble. Instead of having to go through each one of these individually.
Yeah, the peril of when you rebuild your system. I think I might have found the issue. There's a quality of service settings.
Oh, that and, thing again. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Ensure quality of service is off.
Wait, what's that under?
Enable TC configuration settings network.
All right, yeah, that caused problems with us in the past, didn't it?
It could have. I'm forcing a TCP mode as well. So, ironically, I didn't have to change anything. I just applied the settings, and there it was. So, we'll see if that fixes you guys dropping out. It's strange. I mean, I'm still connected.
You dropping out?
Yeah. Whatever. You guys drop out on me, okay? So, which, you know, it could be my end, you know, but what happens when I rebuild the system? I will say this, though. This is working better than Ubuntu was, so less messing around. The only thing I don't like is could not, since I'm using KDE with Wayland, because that's what KDE uses now for most systems. Keyboard shortcuts wouldn't work for push to talk. Everything else does.
Yeah.
And that's where I found it.
What'd you find?
About the quality of service settings.
Uh-huh.
It's me.
Where'd you go?
I'm here. I ain't go nowhere.
He just released his push to talk too quickly.
Probably.
Okay,
right now, I'm doing it
noise?
With a mouse. It's his washing machine.
Wait, which noise?
The squeaky noise.
The cluck, 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 cluck.
Did it go away for a second?
For a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to turn that off. My daughter can get her blanket dried after the show. Give me a second.
Just pop it open. There's something we can talk about.
Much better.
Yes, much better. Atari's bringing out a new console that plays 2600 carts.
Looks like I don't have to worry about it. It's dry already.
Is it a handheld?
What, no, the dryer?
No, the second link I posted in the mumble chat. It looks exactly like the wood grain 2600s did.
Oh, that
except this got HDMI out.
That is kind of, I'm not going to lie, that's kind of cool.
And you just take the standard carts and stick it in.
Wait, what? Where in the mumble chat?
Right at the bottom?
They're at the bottom, dude.
Damn it.
And $129 is not bad. At least it does come with a cart, because all of the carts that I had from when I was a kid.
Everybody ready? Here we go.
Yep.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
I use the bathroom.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's back. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the strong link, go to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cattle's just about to begin.
Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show, episode 1016. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome. And before I get into some what everybody's been waiting for, the excitement, I just wanted to say that we finally, this week, on Monday morning at 5 a.m., moved us over to WordPress 6.2 in our production environment after many, many weeks of beating heads against the wall and propagating it through our higher environments to tweet out all the problems that I missed and other people missed that would only be captured by users when they do their funky things. Mm-hmm. But so far, it's been pretty good. There's only two bugs that I identified after it was deployed. Never even thought about it to look at this. It's just like – it's like weird little things that if you have – we have – there's a plugin called Commenting Feature, and it's a multi-collab plugin where it allows multiple people to comment on an article, and it uses the real estate space that it takes up on the page is between the content block and the bodies, the body essentially, and the right side menu, which has meta information and stuff like that. It shoves itself in between there, creates its own little space. And there were some problems with it that we had to, I guess the latest version had fixed that, which we had to upgrade onto, because it was overriding and adopting like the WordPress styles so that it would interfere with the styles of anything else on the page. They would end up being adopting the commenting styles, which shouldn't happen. They should be their own thing and fit in there and not interfere with anybody else's stuff. But I guess they rectified that on a later version. But what I found out was that when there are comments on the page, then in that space below the comments is essentially a dead zone. So for example, if you're in a block, cause that's how WordPress is now. It's a block editor. It's not just like one big open field that you type and put stuff in. It's comprised of different blocks, like images, paragraph, lists, stuff like that. So if you're in the block and you would click off outside of the block over on the right hand side, it would take you out of the block. It would, you know, you would, the block would lose focus and you would be on just the standard browser page. But with the commenting plugin there, even though that space is completely blank like it was before, it's a dead zone. If you click on it, it doesn't click you out of the block. So I noticed that. And then the other thing was that now there is about an inch space between the block and the commenting feature that is an active zone that functions normally. Now, the other thing I noticed was that if you had a comment on the page and you go to add a block, but then you select the browse all blocks, which opens all the block options in the left-hand menu so that you have the block option menu on the left, followed by the body where the blocks are, followed by the commenting feature section, followed by, and it didn't even have to be the meta section menu over on the right. It just, if you selected the embed block, the embed input, which is just a single line, looks like it's a static width, and it'll blow out beyond the block that the embed block itself, the borders of the embed block, all the way into that commenting section. So that's going to have to be fixed. So those are just little cosmetic things that were kind of annoying that you wouldn't find out unless you specifically tried this order of events, which obviously nobody did but me on the morning of deployment when I was testing stuff. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's move on to the better thing. A wonderful user, not user, listener, longtime listener to the show, donated some equipment. And I got it last week on Wednesday. If you listened to that show, you probably heard me mentioning towards the end of the show installing Manjaro Linux on the device in less than 10 minutes. And what I had done was grabbed the XFCE4 minimal image and slap that on here in less than 10 minutes. It was a breeze to install. I was pleasantly surprised at how easy it was. Coming from having done many Arch installations and in Ubuntu and Fedora and all of the distributions, I felt that this was as on par, at least, maybe even better than Ubuntu's installation, and Fedora's. I mean, it was spotless. It was quick. It was elegant. Yep. Now, and this was probably my mistake. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. When the installation was completed, I did not see a reboot or restart button. So I didn't know whether, you know, I expected one to be there, but I had clicked off it, after, or I must have missed it and mucked around, because the, when you boot into it, you get a full functional desktop environment that you have the option to install. I didn't really play around with it from the USB stick I did the installation from. I just did the install. And when it was finished, it brought you kind of back to the way the screen was when you started the install, where it had that welcome to Manjaro with a couple of options on there. And I don't think I noticed. Now, I like this so much that I wanted to try the plasma install, the plasma full install. Yeah,
that's what I'm running.
And now when I did that install, it did have the reboot button on it at the end. It said, you know, you're ready to reboot. And so I'm right. thinking I missed it on the XFCE install. Now, first thing I noticed is it was when I came back in, very beautiful, elegant,
very clean,
very fast. And it was obviously a minimal install because I wanted to pull it down and slap it on there and see what it was like, in the least amount of time of, that I had available to me. The plasma install really wasn't much longer. I'm pretty sure it was finished in like 10 minutes also. And, that came up beautiful. A little more features on it,
mm-hmm.
of course, cause it's, you know, a little bit beefier, had a lot more stuff.
Now, I didn't do minimal cause I've got it running here on my yoga book right now that I'm using tonight. And I didn't do the minimal install. And it actually gave me the choice of running LibreOffice or there was another one. I can't remember what it was. FreeOffice. Okay, that's the other one. Yeah, I put Libre because I've used that for years. Not that I actually use it too much, to be honest, because I'm all about Google Docs and putting stuff in there. But it's there, and you have that choice, which is kind of nice. And most Linux distros just go with LibreOffice and be done with it. At least you had the choice here with Manjaro.
You know what? Here's the thing. And I didn't realize this until a bit later into messing around with it. Their software installer, which I've looked at it. Once you get it up and running, and there is a add and remove software, and I think it's the same name. Add and remove software is what it's called, both I think on the Plasma side and the XFCE4 side. And they function almost identically. They look differently, obviously. But when you go to install some pieces of software, there are optional components that you can add on there, and it'll identify those optional components. And the first couple of times that I had done that, I thought it was asking me something like, here's, what was it? I think it was Audacity or it was some audio thing.
Are you sure it was extra options and not like, like modules that were needed?
No, it basically came up and said, these are optional things if you want to include them. They're recommend, you know, it recommends these optional things. And it was like some of it was like typefaces and some of it was different, like audio components for something, whatever it was. And I thought it was like, you can choose one of those cause they were all like bulleted. They were like circles. So it looked to me like it was, oh, you can choose one of these as an optional like font interface or something. And I didn't realize, for the first couple of installations that I did that you could choose them all. Like you could select more than one there. And that kind of makes me think back to the Plasma install when it said, do you want LibreOffice or would you like FreeOffice? I'm wondering if you could have installed both of them at the same time in that install. And I only took it as a choice because I'm used to the circle input as being an or, not an and. Like if it was like a box where you can check them, that to me is a better indicator of multiple options could be checked.
Either way, if you want both FreeOffice and LibreOffice, you can just install it right from the
Yes.
The installer after you're done. So I mean.
Now I did.
In fact, I just did that.
I don't want to harp too much on the add remove software feature that's there. Cause it was great. It's probably one of the best ones that I've ever used. And again, they are very different between Plasma and the XFCE. And the, like, for instance, on the XFCE side of things, if I go in there and look under, like, groups, I think it's called, instead of categories. In fact, I could just bring it up here right now. That I looked under there at games, and it didn't have a single thing in there. Right, but on the KDE Plasma side, it had a bunch of games in there. Now, I also noticed that you can just go right down to the command line and use Pac-Man to install stuff, but you could search for the same packages in the add remove software, and I think whatever's in the Pac-Man and the Arch repo or the Manjaro repos will show up in that list, and it does a really good job of, like, displaying everything.
Right. The installer, I'll have to look and see if there's add remove software, because I'm not seeing that. What I'm using, and it had an icon right on the Plasma's taskbar, and it's called PAMAC, or P-A-M-A-C, or PAMAC, I think. And which, obviously, it's basically a graphical front end for Pac-Man, is what it is. And, yeah, it's very simple, maybe too simple. But I can understand, and it has a decent search, so, I mean, I can just go to the upper left-hand corner has a little magnifying glass. You click that and opens the search box. You can search what you want, which I find very handy.
Yeah,
of course,
no,
you can always do AUR as well and all the other Arch thingies.
Now, interesting.
I did install, it does, there, if you basically, how I ended up, I got Chrome on it too, and basically it's a one line, AOR build.
Right.
Is what
right.
It is. Yeah, so, and it just installs and it works just as well as it does on, Ubuntu, you know, so, I have no complaints on that.
Yeah, so the add remove software on, let me see. Yeah, PAMAC. P-A-M-A-C is the same thing it's using on XFCE.
Right.
It looks, like I said, it looks a little different than it does on Plasma, between XFCE and Plasma. But also, it's got, like, different options. Because, like I said, when I did the installation, look under here, under there's an option for categories or groups. And categories, like if I look under here for games, there's no packages found under categories.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe there's something I'm missing that I don't know. I gotta enable something. But when I go into Pac-Man or when I search for something, it's there. Like I would expect under categories games to find Steam. But it's not there. But if I search for Steam, it is there. So that's
weird. Interesting.
And it shows up. Also, if I do a search for Minecraft, actually, that's an AUR package. That's not a good thing. Anyway. Anyway, that aside, man, it is really fast, really nice looking, very clean, very easy to use. Now, I don't know whether to give credit to Manjaro or to Arch or to
or both
or to KDE / XFCE or whatever. But everything that I have plugged in to this system just works. right? Yep. Flash drives, stuff like that that I plug in, media mounts is ready to use, and that works just fine. Because I remember doing that in Ubuntu and also in Fedora in the laptop that I was currently using, and it's a fairly recent build of both of those, that I would have problems that it wouldn't auto mount for some reason, which I was like, why is this a problem? It shouldn't be a problem. And it was a little goofy and wonky, but here it's been perfect every single time.
Yep.
So, and again, I don't know.
I don't know. Who to give credit to. Yeah, I know. I love, one thing I absolutely love is the terminal. How it's set up. You know, I mean, terminal is a terminal, but they have a really nice setup right out of the box where you don't have to do a lot to get it to, do some super useful things. Like if you change directories, it's automatically putting the directory path in your prompt. You know, it just looks nice. And the other odd thing I noticed, and I don't know if this is an Arch thing or a Manjaro thing, but instead of, bash, it's using a ZSH, which I'm totally fine with. I don't care which, I'm not picky on the shell. If I was picky, I would probably go Corn Shell just because I use that the most, but.
Geez, Corn Shell? Who the hell uses that anymore?
Somebody who came from an AIX background.
Now, on the XFCE build, and I noticed that too on the Plasma one, I was using ZSH. On the XFCE one, I'm using Bash. Bash is the shell by default.
Okay.
That is in here. So, which that reminded me when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I know. I saw it was using ZSH, but I'm like, wait a second. Is this using ZSN? No, it's using Bash here. And
I don't care which. It works fine. You can always switch it, just by, you know, saying Bash and that switches it,
right.
You know.
Right. Now, again, I gotta say, man, they did a bang up job setting this thing up. My printer was found as I expected it to be. The only problem I had with the printer is that the default drivers provided by, what is it, Cups, don't work with the printer I have, so I just have to pull down the HP LP drivers, which they're in the repository. It's a simple thing to do and switch to using those drivers, and then it works perfectly. But that is a little bit of a gotcha there, and I don't – like that's not Arch or Manjaro's problem because it doesn't matter what distribution you're using. You're probably going to run into that issue, and it's also – that's an HP thing. You know, I'm thankful that they're providing the drivers. It would have been nice if the Cups drop with the whatever the Ghost – was it still Ghost print or whatever it is? Ghost script where the drivers come from? I can't remember anymore.
I don't either.
Yeah, so whatever comes standard doesn't work with that printer. Even though it lists that model, it just doesn't work.
I try my printer, but my printer's wireless, and it's all the way across the room. HP, for some reason, if you don't print to it for a while, it goes into this weird mode where according to what I've read in the instructions, you're supposed to be able to just hit the power button and it wakes up, and then you can print to it, right?
Right.
Never works for me. The only thing I end up doing is pulling the plug and replugging it and then powering it back on, and then it works. It's like, it's a pain in the ass. Especially when I'm trying to print something quick, like here, in a month I'll be printing, my boarding pass. Well, maybe printing. I might just stick it on my iPhone just to not deal with it, but, and hopefully by then I don't have to wear a mask either, but you know, hey.
You know what I find interesting about that? Cause the printer I have is wireless too. And quite frequently, my wife will throw up her hands and say, it's not working. I can't get it to print. And it's that exact problem. It's like you
right?
have to fiddle with it to, turn it
on or off or disable, like turn off the Wi-Fi and turn it back on the printer. And it's weird, but generally, like any time that I've tried to print to it from Linux, regardless of how long it's been sitting up there, it usually always works. I've not had a problem. The only time I had a problem was when I was setting it up on the Plasma system, and it was because of the drivers. I thought, oh, well, it's doing that thing that it does to everybody. And even with a couple of turning on and off, it just wouldn't print. It would send a job somewhere. I don't know where the hell the job was going. Like, it just wouldn't recognize the job or something.
Because on the Windows systems, it would just, sit there in the queue in the Windows system until I go over and fuck with the printer again and then make it work. But, and it's the most frustrating thing too, because I have HP, HP's got this Instant Ink service where, I think it's a monthly charge or something like that. But basically, when it needs it, it'll just order you new ink, and then all of a sudden you get a package in the mail. But it's something like a monthly cost or something like it. It's like $10 or something stupid like that. It's not
really
much.
Considering how much ink costs.
Right. It just depends on how much you print.
I'll tell you what, man. Ours is a laser jet, and my wife prints the shit out of that stuff, man.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised at how long it lasts.
And I need to get a laser printer. I really do.
I just absolutely will not buy an inkjet printer again.
Inkjets, my biggest problem with inkjets aren't the inkjets themselves, although the ink is stupid. But it's just the fact that even in this day and age of inkjets being out for this long, if you pull off something and you accidentally get a little bit of water on it, that prints toast. you know. And, I actually would like one of those phaser printers that Tektronix used to have with the little, its ink kind of came in these little, what looked like crayons is what it looked like, yeah. Xerox bought them years ago. And I haven't seen them since. They did bring out printers based on that technology. And I got them to buy them for the cashier's office back in the day. But then, of course, they had to get new printers. And at that point, when I was still at the college, they switched from using Xerox for, gosh, I was there for almost 20 years before I went from there to where I'm at now. And except for maybe the last 3 years there, they had Xerox printing and copiers. So before I left, they had switched over to Ricoh. And then I think since I left, they switched to Minolta, which I'm like, why would you switch? All right. Okay. Whatever. Do unnecessary changes just because it might save you a few dollars. that's the way I felt. anyway. I still detest to this day, because we get tickets for it at work, and we pretty much can't do anything about it. We'll get something that says, "Hey, this print queue is disabled now." You know, we go in, like, if it's a Linux system, we'll go and try and enable it. Sometimes that works, but 9 times out of 10, it's the if it's going direct and not going to, like, there's a product from Rock Software, a principling product called Easy Spooler. A lot of our clients will use that. So if it's not going to something like that, it's probably just going direct over a PNAT or a printer NAT from our cloud servers to the client system. And if, say, that printer gets a printer jam or on a Friday, they'll walk out and they'll hit the power button on the printer, then we'll get an incident for that print queue until that printer's turned back on, or until the jam's figured out, or until they fill it with paper, whatever. And it's like, I don't even know why we monitor it. It's frustrating. But that just goes with what I think of printing. I don't mind dealing with it at home because I don't print that often, but at work it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I tend to go so long without printing, though, that the ink dries and it feels like a waste.
Yeah. That's like the 23rd of September, I'm going to that Columbus Coffee Festival, and you have to buy your tickets on Eventbrite. I'm just going to bring up the ticket on my phone, and they'll scan it off the phone. It's easier than me printing it. And they're fine with that, too. They literally have their phones there, and they can just scan it and let you in. Of course, this time I'm going to bring more cash with me because I'm actually going to buy coffee instead of a bottle of syrup, which is what I did last year. But that stuff like that, and then like maybe printing off my boarding pass for work for work flights. That's other things I need to do. I like to print stuff, and that's about the only things I really ever need to print. I don't even print pictures anymore. Waste of paper. It's like we do a set list every week for our church service, right? And especially if I'm in the switching office where I'm switched to cameras for the live stream, I don't. That's about the only time when I'm at church that I need that. But I don't want the paper. I just look it up on my phone. It's like the only reason I take the papers is if there's something that needs to change. So printing is a dead technology for me mostly.
Yeah. So, what else to?
What else?
I can go through some simple things while you're.
Wait, one second. I do have one complaint about devices, and Joe, maybe you can help me out a little bit with this. Because I did play around with Steam, and my daughter was excited about Minecraft, and I got Minecraft running for her, and she's loving it. Joystick support is like, it sucks.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Because it's one of those things where you plug in a joystick and you're like, well, now what? Because I don't even know if it's being recognized. It wasn't being recognized in Steam. It wasn't being used. But then I was like, okay. I looked up the joystick I have and there was somebody that said, well, here's a configuration to put in the UDEV. And then it started working, but none of the buttons worked. So I'm like, why does joystick have to be such a pain in the ass? Like, of all the things, why doesn't it just work?
Because most people don't use a joystick. They use a controller.
What do you mean by a controller?
Like a gamepad. Xbox controller? Yeah, gamepad.
Well, that's what I meant. Not like a joystick, but I got a gamepad. And
which one?
It's one? Is it the 8-bit one?
Okay. No, and, the 8-bit one's a good one.
Yeah, and it's supposed to work, and it does. It's just that, if I recall correctly, a few years ago when I set up Minecraft on a laptop for her to use, cool. I had to go in and do like set up the key mapping and everything.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you still have to do that.
And I'm like, why hasn't it changed? Why can't it be just plug and play and be easy?
It should be. I agree. But yeah. Hey, they can't have drivers for every single controller built into Steam. You figure they'd have 8-bit though.
Yeah, I mean, I just figured that it would at least the basics. I mean, are they that different? Maybe. I guess they are. You know, I guess they are.
All right, now you have the 8-bit do, or the 8-bit do, whatever you want to call it. Is it hooked up wired or wireless?
It's USB.
Okay. Well, because I have one of the 8-bit do controllers, and it is either wired or wireless.
Interesting.
But I haven't used it with Steam. I use it with my phone.
All right. So I just need to play around with it. And I was caught, like, shorthanded with it because I'm like, I don't really have any other games installed on here that I don't, that right. You know, does it use joystick or not?
Here's my question, though. With regards to Steam, is there more games for Linux on there? It's been a while since I've looked at it.
It's got Proton. Who cares?
Okay. All right.
But yes, there are more Linux native games. It's usually not your like AAA games or anything like that. There are
AAA,
some exceptions.
Yeah.
Like Borderlands 2 had a or has a Linux version. The only problem was is like the last DLC they didn't port over. But that was about the time that Proton was first kicking off before even the Steam Deck. And then with the Steam Deck and Proton, a lot of companies just aren't going to worry about making a dedicated Linux version when, you know, the wrapper there makes it work on Linux anyway.
Right. I'll have to try see if I actually have it loaded now. Although I don't know if it'll work right away because after I installed Steam, it told me I had to reboot. I'm like, reboot? This is fucking Linux. Why do I have to reboot?
Right.
I
had to restart Steam.
I think I noticed that it the first time I installed something, it did ask me to restart the system, and I noticed that it was updating GPG keys and stuff like that, and I don't know if that was what it was related to that. There was new keys being added to the key ring for the repositories and stuff like that. But after that, it never really asked me to restart again. So there we go.
Weird. I mean, because I've installed other things and it didn't ask me. So it was specific to Steam. And it just makes me wonder. I bet you there's a background service that it's expecting to be there, and it figures, well, let's just reboot it, you know? And I'm like, you can't just start the service when you launch the application? Hello? But, yeah, we'll see. I'll log into... I do remember my passwords right now. The one thing I never remember is my username, because it's not one of the normal ones I use. Because the one ones I use was gone when I finally signed up for Steam. I do have several that I bought on there. I don't buy a lot of stuff on Steam, you know, because I just don't have as much time as I'd like to play games.
Yeah, I forgot what my Steam password was, too. I just set up a new account.
Nope.
Well, I used to until the one I used got compromised. And I had to change everything. That was, what was it? Oh, LastPass.
Yeah. Oh, I put the link in the Mumble for some interesting things on Universe.
Nice.
All the different Atari cases? Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Ooh. I actually rearranged my 3D printing area. Because one of the things I'm doing is I'm kind of going through and I have several new rolls, but I just have all these little rolls of colors and stuff that I haven't used in a while. So I'm like, why not? Let me use some, print some stuff and use some of that up to get rid of it. Cause some of it's been in there since we were in the apartment still. So it's getting kind of up there. And I had one roll of it's a red filament with sparkles in it. It had this annoying issue where it's always kind of brittle. So
did you dry it?
Well, it's in the dryer now, and I'm printing right from the dryer, so pretty fine. What would happen is it would print just fine, but if, like, say, you finished the print in the middle of the night, all right? Then what would happen is the print, the filament would break between the runout sensor and the extruder. So, since I put it in the dryer, and the only kind of annoying thing with the dryer is I have yet to figure out is if there's a way I can just have it stay on all the time, so it'll go off every once in a while. There probably is a way, I just haven't figured it out yet. But since I had it in the dryer, and it's been fine, so it hasn't broke between prints, so that roll should probably be about gone while I'm printing the second thing I'm printing, which is I found this cool toolbox thing on Thingiverse, so I printed that.
Yeah. I'm not printing anything right now because it's still a bajillion degrees in my garage, so I go out there for like 5 or 10 minutes at a time. Even this late in the day, I was hoping to be able to like lift weights during the show, but I'll go out there for like 5 minutes and it'll feel like my skin is melting off. So,
last couple days, instead of going to the gym, although I skipped yesterday, but Monday and today, instead of going to the gym, I walked outside instead and did a little ingress playing while I was on my walk.
Yeah, I've been doing some more analog type stuff to try and combat the heat. I fixed a couple of the fans that had started falling apart. And then I built a swamp cooler.
Yeah.
It's actually a really easy thing to do.
Yeah, well, and down where you're at, it's a little drier, so it's probably fine.
No, it's not.
It's not? Well.
Not here.
In humid weather, it kind of works, but not if you're like, unless you're like standing right in front of it.
Yeah. That's probably what it's going to end up being, but I'm going to give it a try anyway because, like I said, it's just so freaking hot in the garage. And it's supposed to stay hot until, hold on, let me bring it up. And it's going to be over 100 degrees during the day and, well, until Monday, and then it'll be 98 degrees and it'll get down to 71, but Tuesday it'll get under 70. Well, that should be nice.
Yeah. We're supposed to be in the 70s.
Yeah, 70 will be our low end for several days. And hopefully that means that I can do things like go for a bike ride and not die.
See, here it's a quarter.
You're cutting out, man.
That's because I keep bumping my screen, and it's a touch screen. Actually, it's because that's Steam doing it. I'm logging into Steam, and it takes the focus away from the button. Because Steam's loading in the background.
See, you're trying to play games?
Yeah, we. Oh, it's no.
I dropped my microphone.
You compiling your kernel.
No.
Or that.
Oh, I got too many cords around here.
Yeah, we got... Yep.
Too many damn cords.
Steam's being a pain in my ass right now. I think it's done loading.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you know what I didn't... I noticed I did mess up. I think I messed up my time zone. I think that's what I did, because I'm off. What time is it? It is,
8:43.
Yeah, I'm 3 hours. I must have it set to Pacific time. No, it's 9:43, Joe. Come on.
No, well, it's 8:43 here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't help it. You live in the wrong time zone.
Ay, 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 ay. All right. What else is new, everybody? What else is new? I'll tell you what, man. Manjaro has given me renewed interest in playing around with my Linux machines. Good job on them. What else could you ask for?
Not much.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. What happened to Joel?
His connection died, I would assume.
No, it didn't die. Steam is being a pain in my ass, and I was trying to type it and kill all the Steam web helpers and get rid of it for now. And now it's gone. So what happened is I would be typing, and a black box would come up from Steam and then go away. So whenever the black box would come up, it would steal the focus away from this window.
Yeah.
Well, so it's gone now. Yeah, it probably does need the reboot.
No, I didn't say reboot. I said set it to voice activity and then set a key combination to mute and unmute your mic.
Nah. Or I could do that just, you know, I don't have to set voice activity. I just have to do that from the taskbar in Mumble. Or whatever you call it. Anyway. I took care of the Steam issue. I'll reboot it in try it. I want to see what I can play. Granted, this is a 5-year-old laptop. It's probably newer than what you have, though, Dan. I don't know how old that laptop you have is.
Wait, which laptop? Your laptop?
This one is about 5 years old.
I don't think it's that old.
I have newer ones, but this is my Linux machine. That's what I use every Wednesday. Murph said the stream was having issues.
Really? You're lying.
Granted, that could have just been me, Murph.
All right, so I see what my problem was with my time. It did not have NTP synchronized, so I think it was going off of what the BIOS was set to, and I think that was set to Pacific, even though I was set to Eastern time zone. Now when I set the
the clock to get it from NTP. Now it's the right time, and I'm happy. I am happy.
Mine always had the right time. I don't know what you did, but...
Set the wrong time zone.
That's a possibility. Well, mine doesn't say set time and date automatically, so I'm going to fix that. But it does have the right time zone and the right time.
Set it automatically, you know, when you have a VPN.
Wait, if you want to do it, all you have to do, if you need to get it enabled, here, I'll send you the commands.
There's a checkbox in the date and time system settings, so that'll work.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
I don't have a date and time in the XFCE system settings, or at least I couldn't find it.
Oh, okay, maybe that's it.
So, maybe
see,
it
I'm
doesn't.
On plasma. Yeah, I'm on plasma.
Maybe that'll
so.
Work. I just had to enable the TimeSync D service.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fairly easy to do. But no, all I did had to do was in Kitty Plasma's right click on the time and choose set time and date. And then in that Kitty applet, there is a box that says set time and date automatically. I just checked that. It does prompt you for your password, and that's it.
Now, I wonder does anybody use Cinnamon?
Yes.
You like Cinnamon, Joe?
Yes.
Is that like the old GNOME?
It is, a little bit,
too,
right?
Yeah.
The GNOME 2? Maybe we should try that out sometime.
I have used it. I do like it. I've also used Mate, and it's pretty nice, too. See, Manjaro has literally installed those for every one of those desktop variants that we just talked about.
Yeah, it's got Budgie, Cinnamon, i3, Sway, Mate, and, well, there's the Manjaro Docker. The only one I haven't, I don't know. I'm not that interested in GNOME. I've
used it for years and years and years. The most current almost every year. It's okay.
What is the Sway window manager?
I took a brief
I think it's
look
a window
that.
Manager.
Well, I know that, but I mean what is a way tiling a tiling Wayland compositor. And drop in replacement for the i3 window manager for X11. I'm not a big fan of tiling window managers. That's just me.
Oh man, I was right.
What?
What?
The window manager.
Well, yeah. I knew it was a window because I said it was a Sway window.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Although the Cinnamon desktop is it sounds appealing to me.
I've used XFCE, GNOME, KDE, LXD. Which is very, very nice on a low resource system.
I'd still prefer Mate over LXD.
Oh, me too. Definitely, yeah. I think Mate's even lower resource than LXDE.
Yeah.
Considering you can get Ubuntu Mate for the Raspberry Pi. Over the weekend, though, I did make a trip to Micro Center. I'm just so blessed to have a Micro Center in my town.
Me too.
Or close enough, anyway. It's not in my town. It's in Columbus, but... one thing I noticed there is the... Well, one of these days, I would just love to, go... on a shopping spree in the build your own desktop area just because I've been wanting to build one lately. Why? I don't know. I just have. But the other cool thing is just the amount of It's turning into being like, if you've ever been to a Fry's before they closed, it's very much like a Fry's now.
Yeah.
Not quite as often.
Like the, what,
yeah.
If you took what Radio Shack used to be and mixed it mm-hmm. with what Circuit City used to be,
and
before they all like slammed together with phone stores, then yeah.
I mean, because you have the Makers area, which has a dude. They had so much filament at mine. It was funny.
Same as mine. They got a lot of filament. They sell a crap ton of 3D printers. When they have them, they sell the Raspberry Pis.
Yeah, when they have them, I need to go back up because I swear this past weekend I saw some Pi Zero W's, but I didn't want to. I was already trying to pick up a couple things to help clean ports and stuff on phones and stuff. So I got some Deoxit. They have a little vial that's designed for using on your phone connector, because I have family that like to clog their phone connectors up with garbage.
Yeah. And that's always fun to clean out and hopefully not break the port.
Yes. My wife has the iPad Pro that came out that still had the Lightning connector. And for somehow twice in the last year, she has broke the end of the Lightning connector in the port twice. And I was able to extract it out twice. And I'm like, do you even look at your cable before you go jam it in?
You know what? She's a perfect candidate for those magnetic ones.
Yeah.
The one with the magnetic end where it just stays in there and you just...
And I agree, except she has this weird fascination with wallet cases for her phone. She does have an iPhone. With that wallet case, it basically has all her, like her bank cards and stuff.
Right. She uses it as a
flap wallet. Right. And I'm like, you can't, like, I have an iPhone 13 for my work phone now. And I pick up, like, I had some good boy points from work in our Bonusly system. And I got an Amazon, and I got some MagSafe chargers. Not the Apple branded ones. I got, like, two of them for $20. And they work well. I've got one in my my bathroom downstairs, just because that's the only place I found to stick it. And then I got one at my desk, and I don't usually plug the cable into it. Now I can. The phone came with the USB-C to Lightning, because the 13, all the way up to the next iPhone, which is the 15, is supposed to have USB-C. So, but the MagSafe works well. I just wish the iPad would support MagSafe.
Why does the wallet case prevent you from using the magnetic USB port?
The flap for the where the cards are is so thick, it will not go onto the magnetic charger. Not to mention the fact, probably with the mag stripes. Right.
Oh. Like, there's nothing on the back of the phone. It's just a USB port. Well, not a USB port in your case. It'd be
I know which one. Right, I know which one you're talking about. There's the ones with the magnetic breakaway ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I should see if I can get her one of those. For her. Well, actually, her iPad is probably on the last when iOS or iPad OS 17 releases. Hers can't load it. So she's going to be in the market for a new one probably by Christmas. I actually just got a new one. So I have the iPad Pro 11 with, just got it today actually, with the M2 chip in it. Stupid overpowered for a tablet, but I don't care. Because basically, well, one of the things I figured out too was I would have been fine with the Air 5, but the, in their infinite wisdom, they have, in the Air 5, they have one with 64 gig storage and one with 256 gig storage. 64 gig is a little too light. So the next option was an iPad Pro with a 128 gig. And it actually was cheaper than the iPad Air 5 with 256. So that was a no-brainer. But that got me the M2 instead of the M1. And it's got 8 gigs of RAM. The 12-inch adds another 8 gigs, so it has 16. But, you know, you're barely going to notice it on an iPad. But now that I got desktop class silicon in an iPad, I still hamstrung by iPad OS. And most of what I do is watch stuff on there. Although I will take notes and stuff on it when I'm in meetings and stuff. And if I don't know whether it's because people are not carrying them, but I've been wanting to check out the Pixel tablet to see what it's like. But I've been to multiple stores that would have had those kind of things, Micro Center, for example, and they didn't have Pixel tablets on display anywhere.
Oh, I was thinking about maybe getting a Pixel 7 Plus or a Pixel 7.
Yeah.
But,
you're
I don't
close
know.
Enough to the 8 right now.
Well, even then, I don't know. I keep hearing that they have, production issues. Like, they don't have good QA.
I've not had a problem. Most of the problems I've heard of on the Pixel phones has been with the 6, the non-Pro models. The Pro models have all been pretty rock solid from what I've heard. I haven't had a problem with mine except for when I dropped the phone and cracked my screen. But that's been fixed. But
Did you get yours through Amazon or through your cellular?
My carrier. I got mine through my carrier. So that's a really good point though. There was an article we talked about on the iTech Gear Weekly about Apple is going to have exclusive manufacturing rights for TSMC to make chips with the 3-nanometer process. So that's through 2024, and the current chips that Google's using, the TensorFlow chips, the G1 and the G2, those ones are being manufactured currently by Samsung. So from my understanding, the Pixel 3, Pixel 8 will have a Tensor G3. The G4 has been canceled.
Have you watched Ahsoka?
I have not yet.
Wait, didn't it come out this week?
Episode 1 and 2 are evidently out.
I have not yet. I have not yet, but I can. I can. I was actually digging to get some new TV, so that might be worth watching because I liked Ahsoka in the when she appeared in the Mandalorian. So
I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah, I will too. But in fact, one of my favorite characters ever that's never appeared on film yet, Grand Admiral Thrawn, is supposed to be in that series. So we'll see. He was the guy leading the books that are probably not canon anymore in the Heir to the Empire books. he was the main antagonist. But since they brought up those three new movies, it kind of broke all that. But yeah, I'll have to watch it. I had to sign up for the pay version of Peacock, though, because football starts up here in another week or two, NCAA, and it's getting as I posted the other day on Facebook that it's getting to the point where watching the Buckeyes play football is like watching NASCAR in the 90s, because so far of the stations that are going to have the game that I know of so far, they haven't announced where each game is going to be yet, but they've got games on Fox, on BTN, which is the Big Ten network, on CBS, and on Peacock. And I'm like, okay, why? Granted, there's at least one new local station that will, that when I've seen it said, hey, it's going to be here, like an ESPN Plus or something like that, it would show up on Channel 6 here. So I'm hoping that kind of happens, but I just paid for Peacock. I figure I'll just pay through it till January and then cancel or go down to the free version again. Although there's quite a lot of stuff on Peacock that's interesting, so maybe I won't cancel it. It's not that expensive. It's like $11.
Check out Tubi.
I have Tubi. Yep, Tubi 3. So
yeah.
Lots of stuff on Tubi.
Yeah, mostly garbage, but it's fun garbage.
True. There's a lot of garbage on Tubi, but there's a lot of good stuff too. I forget, Babylon 5 is on Tubi. The entire series.
That's cool.
So if you haven't seen it yet, one of Dan's disappeared.
But Dan BFG keeps bouncing out, in and out.
Yeah. There, it's back now.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I've actually gone through part of the way through season one. And I'm trying to remember if I actually watched the miniseries before. I've seen it before, so I just picked up wherever season one set started on Tubi. That might be the miniseries, but I haven't been steady at watching it. So I'll like have a week or two where I'll watch a couple episodes a day and then take a break.
Yeah, I gotta start making time for some TV watching again.
The bad thing is a lot of TV is going to be delayed thanks to the writer's strike and the actor's strike.
That's true. I've noticed that there isn't a whole lot of new shows coming out right this second, so.
Not yet, anyway. Like, I have no idea when the next season. I know there is another season of The Good Doctor, but no idea when it's going to release now. Dan, did you go see the Blue Beetle yet?
Nah.
I heard.
Oh, is that out now?
It's out. It didn't do very good.
That doesn't mean it's not good. It just means it's a lesser known superhero. I know Jackie wants to go see it, so hopefully next week we can make it out there and give it a watch.
Well, you got Zolo Maraduena, who was from Cobra Kai, who plays the Blue Beetle.
I've always meant to watch Cobra Kai, and it never happened.
Ah, oh, you got it. It was good.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I enjoyed it.
Well, it's got a pretty solid rating. I mean, 4 out of 5. For review?
Or is that rating?
got 4 out of 5 stars, so.
It's 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
I'm willing to give it a watch, and I know Jackie's excited about it, so.
You did see the Flash movie, though, Dan, right?
Nope, not yet.
Yeah, me either. I have it. I just haven't watched it.
Is it streaming already?
Yes.
Wow.
Is it on, what is it on?
I don't know.
I didn't know if it was streaming yet.
Yes?
I don't think it's streaming as a part of a service now, but it's for rent.
Probably rent Amazon. Or purchase.
Yeah, YouTube from 1999, Amazon Prime Video from 1999, Redbox from 1999, Apple TV from 1999, so it's also on Apple TV and Google Play Movies and TV. I'm assuming these are probably purchases.
Purchases.
Yes, you can buy the 4K version for $20.
Which is pretty cool. If I had a 4K TV.
Still cheap. Still cheaper than going to the movie theater.
Yes. Especially for two people with food.
I mean, you get two pops and a popcorn to share, and you're still spending at least $30 on food.
Yeah. Oh, Susan Sarandon's in Blue Beetle?
Sting.
And Raul Trujillo? I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
Then what?
Then it's like 9 o'clock now, or 10 o'clock your time.
It is 10 o'clock. Past 10. So it's time to go. Actually, no. Blue Beetle did hit number one and finally dethroned the Barbie movie. But I ain't saying much.
I don't know. Barbie outdid Batman.
Let's see that. Why? Because, you know, let's face it, DC is not really doing, well, even the MCU is not doing as well as it used to.
Right. The Secret Wars bombed. I think they're planning on cutting back some, but who knows with Disney. I know they're
I think so.
I keep hearing that they're cutting back on their streaming service, but I don't know.
Well, the one thing I saw about Disney Plus is that, what's his face? Iger says they may be shutting it down in some countries. Like, so I'm thinking like India, because I know one big thing that caused them to be popular in India was, I believe, cricket, if I remember right. And they lost the contract for that.
Mm. I don't know.
I also saw a weird rumor that Apple may be buying ESPN.
Well, wasn't Disney in the red in regards to their streaming service?
They are. Very much so.
Disney's always in the red, aren't they?
Not always. But I have heard, like, attendance in the parks have been low for multiple reasons. It's not just Florida.
You're right. It's the fact that, you know, it's blazing frigging hot and people can't afford to go anywhere.
It, well, I was going to say, when it costs you at least $5,000 a person, depending on what kind of package you get, you know, it costs a lot of money to go to Disney. That's why I've never gone. Because that makes a combination of fanatic people in large amounts that I just don't want to be around.
Aw, they want you there, Joel.
No, they want his money there.
That's what they want, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they only... They shut down the Star Wars-themed hotel.
Of course they did.
But they only wanted nobody likes Star Wars anyway. To stay in there, you know.
And so who's going to do that? 3,000 a night?
Not
good.
Me.
Alright. I'm gonna play this out while Joel saves up his money for the Star Wars hotel. That's gone now. You can't make a lightsaber anymore either, can you?
That I don't know about.
He has a
3D printer. He can make a lightsaber if he wants to.
I thought...
This is true. As of May 26, 2023, 4:30 p.m., Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is unavailable for new bookings.
I thought the make your own lightsaber thing was gone too, but I don't think it is. Okay. Alright, I'm gonna play this out, everybody. Oh! I'm not gonna be here next week.
Oh no!
So it's up to you guys if you wanna do a show or not. If you do, if somebody records it, I'll post it and everything, but I will not.
My attendance at OLF may be in question because I have two things scheduled the same weekend.
Well, cancel them. Murph needs your support.
I can probably go to both, but I won't be able to stay too late because I need to go to my church is doing a car show at the church, so I at least got to go and get pictures for that. So.
Alright, here we go. I'm gonna play this out.
Good
thank you, everybody. Have a safe week.
Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. I actually just Googled, how much did it cost for the Star Wars hotel per night, right?
Too much.
$1,209 per guest per night. So over $1,200 per night per guest. A party of two costs $4,809. For a family of four, the cost is closer to $6,000. The cost of the tricked out suite is $20,000 per night. That's just dumb.
It's money, baby.
And that's why it's not open anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't cost me that much to go to Great Wolf Lodge for a weekend.
Wait, where's Great Wolf Lodge?
There's a bunch of them. This one to me is Cincinnati.
I was going to say, because
it's like right next to where Kings Island
and,
is.
Like right outside of Williamsburg. Well, in Williamsburg, there's a Great Wolf Lodge. So, yeah, there's that. Ah, crap, we got to stop the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
And that's going to depend on it or in Tennessee.
Boy.
Ooh, it pays 7,800 cards, too. There's some good games in the 7,800. There wasn't as many specific games, but like one of my favorite was Food Fight.
Oh, I want them to bring out one that looks like the 400.
Oh, yeah, with the membrane keyboard?
No, that was the 800 that had the membrane keyboard. The 400 actually had, like, the...
No, the 400 keys. The 400 had the membrane keyboard. The 800 had the mechanical keyboard.
Okay, well, then I want them to come out with the 800, then.
Just like the 800XL. I wouldn't call it a mechanical keyboard, but it's similar.
I'm not a big fan of the membrane style keyboard, yeah. So...
Yep, for the 600XL and the 800XL had the regular keyboards. The 800 had the regular keyboard. That was... The 800 and 400 came out at the same time. The 400 was a little bit cheaper, but had that shitty membrane keyboard.
Yeah. And, I don't know, $129, yes, it's HDMI. That does seem a bit high to have
for just 26 and 7,800, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe. But I'd buy it.
Yeah, I mean... I guess it kind of depends on the quality of it too, and because it looks like it's smaller, so it's not like it's a full-on reproduction. So,
i.e., it's probably emulation.
Yeah, someone could just like make a system like this for like $10.
I mean, I have the Atari 50th anniversary cartridge for the Switch. And it's good, but playing it with the Switch controls is quite a bit different than playing with the old CX-16.
Yeah, the joystick. I have a lot of fond memories.
Who doesn't in their 40s and 50s?
Well, Atari was a little bit before my time. I just got lucky.
I was in college when the Nintendo, the NES came.
I was 5 or 6 when the NES came out.
Well, actually, technically, my brother bought one. And he was in his tail end of high school. The time I remember the most with the NES was I was back from college. So we're talking probably 90, 91, somewhere around there. So he probably got it late.
I think it came out in, what, 85, 86?
That's what I thought, yeah.
And that's when, because I remember my dad getting it like when it first came out and then bringing it home.
Yeah, October 18th, 1985. But it released in Japan in 83. That's when the Famicom came out.
Right. Oh, and I've been playing the original Super Mario Brothers game.
On what?
My phone case.
Oh, you got the phone case that has the little emulator thing on the backside?
Yeah. I got it for my birthday. Got a bunch of games in it, all the, like,